Soon I can retire and you can take over.
Not yet. No.
So, all right. Shri Siddha Uchahu. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka said, Yaha, the person who, Naha, our, Gatim, perfection, Yoga Siddham, achieved by mystic yoga, Asadhu, most uncivilized and dishonest, Aharshit, stole away, yoga of mysticism, tapaha, and austerities, balena, by the power, nanadarpam, proud due to wealth, opulence and strength, tam, him, Nakahai, by the nails. Vidadara, pierced. Tasmai, unto him. Tubyam, unto you. Pranataha, bow down. Sma, we are. Nrsingha, O Lord Nrsingadeva. Translation, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka prayed, O Lord Nrsingadeva, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve perfection in 8 kinds of mystic power. Yet Haranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, P. John. On earth, there are many yogis who can exhibit some feeble mystic power by manufacturing pieces of gold like magic. But the inhabitants of the planet, Siddhaloka, are actually extremely powerful in mysticism. They can fly from one planet to another without airplanes. This is called Lucky Ma City. They can actually become very light and fly in the sky. By a severe type of austerity, however, Hiranyakashipu excelled all the inhabitants of Siddhaloka and created disturbances for them. The residents of Siddhaloka were also beaten by the powers of Hiranyakashipu. Now that Hiranyakashipu had been killed by the Lord, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka also felt relieved. Shri Siddhauchu Yonagatin Yogatim Yoga Siddham Asadur Aharshid Yogatapo Balena Nanadapam Tam Nakara Vidyadara Tasmai Tubyam Pranatasmo Nisringa. So Om Gana Timaranda Shah Gadanjala Shalakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So isn't it interesting to have all those powers? Would you like them? Fine, yeah. So we're going to talk about all those powers, but first of all, like Prabhupada said, when you're born in Siddhaloka, you don't have to perform austerities to get those powers. You automatically get those powers. Some people just get powers by birth. For example, you know the story of the Ramayan? You know Vibhishan?
Yes.
Heard his name before? So Vibhishan, when Ravana and his wonderful son Meghnad, you know who Meghnad is? I mean, who has a voice like a cloud, you know, thunder. So when Meghnad and Ravana, they offended Vibhishan, he left to take shelter at Lord Ravana's lotus feet. So he and it's described he had 4 associates, 4 servants. They flew through the air all the way to see Lord Ram, who was camped on the other side of the ocean. And when the monkeys saw them, they thought, this is Ravana's brother, we should beat him to death. But then they went to Lord Ram and they said to Lord Ram, what should we do with him? And Lord Ram said, Even if Ravana himself came and surrendered, I would accept him. You know, that's how merciful Lord Rama. Lord Rama is also Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen. So, anyway, so they landed, they made friends with Lord Rama, and then Lord Rama crowned Vibhishan as the king of Lanka, which is interesting because Ravana was still alive as the king of Lanka. So it was like a direct challenge or an insult to Ravana. Can you imagine that? It's like, anyway, it's like so there's the, let's say you have a prime minister in the country here, and then even before the election, you crown someone else. You have the inauguration of someone else as the new prime minister. That'd be weird, isn't it? He gets like a coup. So Lord Ram was staging a coup, basically. He was up here. He was the original coup maker. So he actually enthroned, and he did a whole Abhishek and everything with Vibhishan. So then, but there was still a problem. They didn't know how to cross the ocean. And so they went to Vibhishan and said, look, you gotta teach us how to fly in the air. And Vibhishan said, basically, this is the point of that whole quote, that with Rakshasas, they naturally have these powers. And you can't really teach these powers very quickly to someone. So you're going to have to figure out some other way. Of course, Vibhishan said you should worship the sea god. You know the story? Worship, who's the sea god? What's his name? Starts with a V. Is it Vayu? No. V-A-R.
Varun.
Varun, yeah. So you should worship the sea god, and so Lord Ram for several days is worshiping the sea god, and nothing happened. So what did he do? Yeah, he said, I'm going to teach this sea god a lesson. And the sea god said, you know, we can't really allow you to pass, but we'll allow you to have a bridge. We'll make sure that you have stones. If the stones have what on them?
Lord Ram's
name. So all the monkeys, they had to learn how to write. No, the other monkeys wrote too, not just Hanuman. And Hanuman tried to bring Govardhan.
Yeah.
And he heard Lord Ram's voice and said, we have enough stone, just put it down. And he put it down in Vrindavan, in Raj. So anyway, so that's the point about mystic power. Whereas you see others were actually born with mystic powers too in the Ramayana. Like Hanuman, he had so many mystic powers. Flying through the air, doing so many amazing things. He couldn't be killed.
Was about to eat the sun.
He could eat the sun. I mean, he really had big mystic powers. Mm. So there's a whole sorts of people with different mystic powers in the Ramayana. Even your friend, Sarpanaka, your teacher in the school. Did you ever have a teacher who looked like Sarpanaka? I did when I went to school. So even Sarpanaka, when she came to see Lord Ram, I mean, she was quite an ugly girl. And so she made herself look to him. And then she looked like, what? A beautiful young girl. And she said, oh, man. But then actually her real form came out when what?
When Lakshmi caught.
Right before that. When she threatened Sita Devi with death. Then her real form, you know, as soon as she got angry, she forgot to keep manifesting this artificial form. And Ram said to Lakshman, don't ever joke with women, it's not appropriate. Because you get in trouble.
What did he say?
He said, don't ever joke with women again.
What did Lakshman say?
Because Lakshman was joking with Sarpanaka. Because Lakshman said, well, first of all, Sarpanaka, they were both joking with her, actually. Because Sarpanaka went to Ram and said, Ram, I love you. and Ram said, but my wife is here to be kind of problematic for you. So therefore, my brother's here and his wife's not here. He's lonely. And so then Sarpanaka went to Lakshman and said, Lakshman. And then Lakshman said, but I'm just a servant. You know, if you get married to me, then you'll just have to serve Ram and Sita Devi. I'm sure he said, if you go back to Ram, he'll soon forget that sunken, wasted girl, because Sopanaka sort of had like a beer belly on her. You know what a beer belly is? You ever seen people who drink beer? They have like a stomach. It's like the men are pregnant all the time. You ever see that? The adults have seen that, haven't you? It just hangs out. It just hangs out. And it hangs over their belt. You understand? They have a belt and it just like pops over several centimeters down. So, that was Sopanaka, that was the one problem. She didn't really take care of her beer belly. So that Lakshman was just joking. And Sita Devi was known as Sumajana. Sumajana means very nice waist. You understand? Sumajana means like middle. So it also, in relationship with a lady, could be called, it could be Sumajana, a good middle. You understand good middle? No. It means that one has a very thin waist. That's Sumajana, that's the name. Haribol! So Lakshman says, he will soon forget this girl with the sunken waist. You know, sunken, but it means, actually, good waist. So then she went back to Ram, and then she figured out they were both joking with her. And then she got angry, and said, oh, I'm going to devour Sita! And then her real form came out, her nails came out. She's called Sopanaka because it means long nails. Naka. You know, Naka's nails. Curved nails, actually. Curved long nails, like a tiger or something like that. And so she got ready, and then Lakshman lopped off her ears and her nose. And so she got a free nose job, like a plastic surgery. Anyway, so that was another example of, you know, changing forms. I mean, go through the Ramayana, there's all sorts of interesting examples of different yoga, natural mystic powers that people get.
Like how Vanatakas changed his form into a snake.
Yeah, and then Ravana changed his form into a Brahmin.
Yeah.
When he was stealing Sita Devi, right? So this is actually, these are called natural mystic powers, actually, used demoniacally, but whereby one gets them when just being born. So if you really want, you could be born in Siddha Loka next life. Wouldn't that be nice? You have all these mystic powers, you can fly through the air. So anyway, so what I was going to do is describe all the mystic powers so you can hear how wonderful they are and be attracted and chant Hare Krishna, asking Krishna for mystic power. No, actually, a devotee is Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kam Sakalaya Shanta, that he understands Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atayeva Shanta, that if even one wants cities or powers, city means power, then the mind is always disturbed. Any sort of desire you have, the mind is disturbed. Right? Just like cases like, what do you want more than anything else in this world? You want an iPad or an iPhone or... No, what do you want? What do you ask your father for?
Nothing right now.
Really, you're pure. What? Is it? Xbox. The Xbox Kinect, right? So if you think about it, your mind is disturbed and you're not happy. Whatever you want, you really let it agitate your mind, it keeps you from being happy. Isn't it when you're just crying for something? Do you ever cry for something? I want it, I want it, I want it. You gotta get it for me. You ever do that? Really?
A lot.
A lot.
Another way is that you say everybody in your class has it.
Yeah, everybody in your class.
Especially like when people bug you and they start like,
And then I bug my dad to get me.
Then you tell your parents,
oh, everyone in class has it.
Yeah. See, and then it makes your mind very disturbed, and then you're not happy. That's the point.
It's like my whole in my whole class, everybody has their own iPad.
Really? Except for you?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for you. I'll pray for you, all right? See, they prove what the point, you know, your mind's agitated, everyone has it, I want it, and just envy there too, right? You want what other people have, isn't it? Right?
It's even like pride and Bianca.
So you're envious of other people, and that makes you miserable.
It makes you angry.
Makes you angry, and an angry person's not happy. So, because when you contemplate things, then you become attached, then you become lusty, then you become angry, according to the Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, so this proof, this proves the point. So a devotee is not really interested in the cities, although they come automatically just by the performance of his bhakti yoga. But he doesn't usually use them, like you don't see Prabhupada like walking on water and things like that. Sometimes if it's useful for preaching, like Jesus Christ, he would walk on water. And he produced food for everybody with his mystic cities.
Yeah,
he healed people. You find that. Even, of course, Lord Chaitanya is God. He can do anything. He's not just mystic powers. But Lord Chaitanya came across a leper. You know what a leper is? I mean, someone who has this disease where the nose just like melts off and the fingers melt off. And this leper had, the leper's name was Vasudeva, and he had worms in his body. From the leprosy, and he was so merciful that each time a worm fell out, what did he do? He put it back because he was concerned about the worms. Would you do that? No, I wouldn't either. I'd just say, yuck, get out. So he kept putting it back. So Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and what happened? Leprosy went away. So you see, even Lord Chaitanya exhibited this, Jesus Christ exhibited it, but Prabhupada said his mystic power was turning hippies into happies. Prabhupada said that's better than any of these other cities. Well, let me describe since you don't know. A hippie is basically someone who hasn't taken a bath for a long time. It's a man, you know, usually men or women, they're men and women. Women and men, they pretty much dress alike and they have flowers in their hair and they have long hair, some of it goes to the knees. And they have these, they go to these music concerts where they swim in the mud with pigs. There was this one concert called Woodstock. Some of you heard about that. And there was a movie about it and actually showed the people swimming naked with pigs.
Ew.
In the mud.
Gross.
And so when Prabhupada came to America, America was filled with people like that. I mean, he came to America, landed, and he said, oh, the whole country is filled with ignorance and passion and ignorance. And then even the person Prabhupada stayed with was like a hippie. He was taking this thing called LSD, and he went crazy. He basically threatened Prabhupada's life. You know that story? Prabhupada was living in New York. And so the person was keeping cat food in his refrigerator, and Prabhupada had to use the same refrigerator and stove and everything like that. And then he got so disturbed because he was intoxicated that Prabhupada ran out the door at that point. So that's a hippie. And I remember hippies because I wasn't a hippie, but there were so many of them around that practically 90%, that means most of the young people were hippies. If you were born there, you would be like that too. And then there were also places where the hippies would go and just walk around without clothes all the time. And there were these things called, they still have them, called rainbow festivals. I went there to preach one time. It smelled so bad. People walking around without clothes and passing stool everywhere. And everyone getting sick and dysentery, you know, diarrhea. So what happened is that Prabhupada came to America. And there were basically all these hippies around. And they were all practically intoxicated 24 hours a day. I know devotees who had taken LSD like 1,000 times. There's one of our devotees in North Carolina. She's probably watching right now. But she was, she was, you know, probably like thousands of times she took. And
what?
You did too?
I think maybe that she remembered that much.
Oh, yeah, she didn't remember that much. But now she became a big book distributor. So anyway, so that's a miracle, isn't it? You have someone like that, like practically less than, people were less than pigs. And they were just eating anything, and anyway, I can't even describe. All the men had super long hair, and Prabhupada came to America and he started chanting, and by his mystic power, the hippies, the hair fell out.
Natural hair cut.
They agreed to shave. And they became shaven-headed by Kunta residents, like Prabhupada said. And then people would ask the devotees, they said, what country do you come from? You know, they could, Prabhupada would talk about that, how they couldn't recognize that they were Americans because they looked so blissful. They were effulgent. They would light up the dark. Previously, they were the dark. And then they lit up the dark. So that's really what happened. Prabhupada, those are the first devotees Prabhupada made. Isn't that a miracle? The first devotees Prabhupada made in America were like that, you know, hippies. There were a few that weren't hippies, like Jayananda, who started all the Rathyatras. He had a degree in engineering, and he was driving a taxi to make money and supported the temple. But most of the people had never held jobs their whole lives. They were just living on the street. Can you imagine that? The streets were filled and the parks were filled and they would paint their faces. Like all over, it was like holy every day. Because they're all multicolored, like people would wear, anyway, all sorts of different colored clothes. They would do this thing called tie-dyeing. You know what tie-dyeing is? They would put their clothes into the washing machine with dye and then they would tie knots on it. So it would make these patterns when it came out. You know, everyone see that? It's called tie-dyeing. I even did that one. Just to look like everybody else, I would put my pants and the shirts into the washing machine and dye it. And then put another color and tie different knots. And so you have all sorts of different colors, like with these splashes all over you. You ever see that? You used to do that too, isn't it? No one here. You did that. Yeah, tie dyeing. And then Prabhupada came and they all became devotees, sannyasis and gurus. Isn't that a miracle? I mean, this is less than animals, basically speaking. I mean, animals didn't take drugs. Animals didn't dye their clothes. Did they? And they had hair all over the body. There was even one musical, a dramatic performance. You know what a musical is? It was named Hair. And my mother took me to see it. She thought I should understand all these things. So she took me to see it. It was in a place called Broadway in New York. Broadway is the main place where they do all the theater stuff in New York. And she took me there, and the people were dancing around naked on the stage, just chanting about hair.
Oh.
One of the songs was, here, 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 there, everywhere is hair, hair, hair. You ever hear that? Anyone hear? Yeah, some. Yeah, there was a musical like that. The movie, yeah, there was a movie about it. And then what happened is that they all became, many of them became devotees, not all of them. Some of them became businessmen later on. The interesting thing is that if you go around the ex-hippies, and a lot of them are lawyers and businessmen, the Wall Street people, you know, people, stockbrokers. They all surrendered, except for those who joined the Hare Krishna movement. They all became normal materialists after some time. A few of them remained like dirty and everything like that, but usually not. It's interesting, isn't it? So isn't that a real mystic power? What do you think, Kesu? That's the type I'd like to have. That I could, like, touchstone. Vaishnava is called the touchstone. You can just touch someone. And another example is Magrari. You know the story of Magrari?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Magrari was a hunter. And he was half killing the animals. You don't know the story? Okay, he probably heard it before, but he forgot. He was half killing the animals, and he was like a hippie in the forest. And he was enjoying half killing, he set traps. You've ever seen a trap, you know, something, the animal steps on the trap and it closes and traps them and it's like a squirm. So he would set these traps and he would just like enjoy watching them. Like that. Then one time Narada Muni came. And Narada Muni saw the animals, they were trapped like that. And what did Narada Muni do? He'd let them go. And Magrari came and said, "Why do you let them go?" And Narada Muni said, "But why do you half kill them? Why don't you fully kill them? In this way, they'd suffer less." And Magrari said, "This is the way my father taught me. And this, I enjoy seeing them suffer." Sometimes demoniac people enjoy seeing others suffer, right? So he was like, torture the animals. Yeah. And then Narada Muni said, "All right, do you know what's going to happen to you?" And Magrari said, "No." And Narada Muni said, "I'll show you. Watch my computer." And so he did a 3D, you know, virtual reality demonstration of what was going to happen. You know 3D? So Magrari was able to see the animals coming after him in the next life and killing him. And Magrari said, "Uh-oh, this is karma. What can I do, Narada Muni?" And Narada Muni said, "Just chant Hare Krishna. And give all this up." And Magrari said, "But what am I going to eat? And how am I going to take care of my family?" And Narada Muni said, "No, I'll make sure it happens. Don't worry about it." So Magrari sat down. He shaved off all the hair all over his body. He had hair, so he shaved off. And he started to chant Hare Krishna along with his wife in front of the Tulsi plant. And he became a great devotee. And then Narada Muni came back to see him. And when he came back to see him, Magrari was running to see his guru, but he was jumping at the same time in a strange way. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Why?
He was jumping in that way because there were ants there, and he was avoiding the ants.
So that's why he was there. And then Narada Muni said to his friend Parvati Muni, "Isn't this amazing? How someone from the lowest position can come to the highest position." It is amazing. And so a Vaishnava is able to do that. Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha. Prabhupada was actually criticized even by his godbrothers. His godbrother said, Abhai likes to hang out with hippies. But actually that was Prabhupada's compassion, that he was able to tolerate us. I mean, here is someone from a very high position, you know, very sophisticated, Bengali gentleman, you know, he's not used to people running around smelling and running around naked. Prabhupada even preached in a nudist colony one time. That means people who don't wear clothes. Prabhupada actually went there and he was preaching Krishna consciousness. It's disgusting. So anyway, so Prabhupada tolerated and he changed these people. That was his greatness. And he turned them into dancing white elephants. You know what a dancing white elephant is? You don't know. Prabhupada wanted to preach in India. But nobody would take Prabhupada seriously because they all wanted to imitate America and Australia. They thought, that's the real life. Disney World. Did you ever go to Disney World? No. No. That's real life. We want to be like that. And so Prabhupada would preach, you got to surrender everything to Krishna. And preach Krishna consciousness. Everything, the material world is temporary, and people are thinking, yeah, he has to speak like that, but real life is like America, or material opulence, having a swimming pool, and all that other things like that. So, they didn't take Prabhupada seriously. And they were envious of the Americans. So what Prabhupada did, is he turned these hippies into devotees, and then he brought them back to India, and he called them his dancing white elephants, And he would have them dance in front of everybody. Not Bart Macho, don't worry. He would have them dance, and Prabhupada would even tell the people who he was preaching to how rich these people were before they came devotees. He said, oh, this was the son of the person who, the owner of Seagram's company. No, Seagram's is a liquor company. This is, you know, Prabhupada would actually talk about this in front of people. Or Ambarish, who was Henry Ford's great-grandson. I mean, he had millions and millions and millions of dollars. And then Prabhupada brought them to India, and everybody thought, wow, if they took up Krishna consciousness, it must be real. Wow. If they gave up everything, it's like that story of the touchstone. You know the story of the touchstone? That the man, one man was, went to Lord Shiva, and he's praying to Lord Shiva, Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya. Please let me be rich and let me have a touchstone. And Lord Shiva said, all right, there's a touchstone with Sanatana Goswami. So this man went to Sanatana Goswami and said, can I have your touchstone? And Sanatana Goswami said, yes, it's there in the garbage. You can go pick it out of the garbage. And so he picked it out of the garbage and they started turning everything to gold. He turned his shoes to gold, his sand to gold, his wife to gold, his sons to gold. Of course, they never argued with him after that. They were just gold. It was very nice. It's like in India, you know, you have, sometimes people have names like indicating gold or diamonds, right? Like Hiralal is diamond. And when they come to the West, they change their name to Mr. Diamond. You see people do that? Very common. So, they do. Actually, it's true.
I bet they won't go to heavy, but not.
Yeah, no. I know people like that. I have friends like that who came from, their names were, one person's name was Hiralal. And you know, when I was introduced to them, they said, I'd like you to meet Mr. Diamond. You heard of that? It's very interesting. Or Mr. Gold or something like that. Anyway, interesting story. So, why was I telling that story? Oh, yeah. So he was turning everybody, I remember now. He was turning everybody to gold. But then he remembered that the touchstone was actually found in the garbage. And then he went to Sanatana Goswami. And he said, do you have something nicer than this? And Sanatana Goswami said, yes, but you got to throw the touchstone into the Jamuna River. And so the guy was having a traumatic experience, you know, because he was so attached to the touchstone. So he was taking the touchstone, ready to throw it in, they put it to his chest. Of course his chest didn't turn to gold. But then he tried to throw it. No, I can't do it. Oh yes, let me do it. Oh no, how can I do it? So this went on for about 2 or 3 hours, back and forth. And finally he goes, and threw it into the Jamuna. And he said to Sanatana Goswami, all right, so what's better than the touchstone? Sanatana Goswami said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. So the point is, when Prabhupada turned the hippies into happies into dancing white elephants, he was showing that there was something better than the material wealth. And then people in India joined his movement. And now we have more devotees in India than anywhere else in the world because of Prabhupada's strategy. Prabhupada is very intelligent in his strategy. Isn't it? It works. Okay, that's probably all we have time for. I was going to talk about more about Mr. Paris, but it's all we have time for this morning. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
All right. You said that devotees have mystic powers, but they don't know what
it is. Automatically, pure devotees are given mystic powers, yeah.
So I was thinking, if they have mystic powers, wouldn't it be useful to do something
like
travel, for example, we see something for buying an
airplane. Yeah, but people would take Krishna consciousness very cheaply. Like Prabhupada one time, he arrived in Dallas, Texas, and I arranged the reception for him. And Prabhupada said, basically, he said, I came here by this airplane, but I could have come by mystic powers or flying carpet even. Which is interesting, flying carpet. Generally, you think about that in the Arab countries, you know, they talk about flying carpets. Yeah, flying carpet. So Prabhupada said I could have come here by flying carpet or by mystic powers. And then they asked him, so why did you come by American Airlines, was the name of the airline. And Prabhupada said, to be one with you. In other words, it was an interesting play on words, because the motto of American Airlines was, be one with us and fly with us. So Prabhupada was actually, he knew the motto, so Prabhupada was actually saying that, but also indicating that, you know, people would take things very cheaply. Let's say if someone, a devotee, walked on water, then you have a lot of cheap followers, and that would be useless. Prabhupada said, when he was asked one time, why are there so few people, Krishna conscious, Prabhupada said, you know, why do so few people have a diamond? Everybody can go into the store and buy imitation diamonds. What is it called? Cubic zirconium. I know one person who got married, and he went into, I don't know if you ever heard of a 5 and 10 cent store. Anyway, like one of these really cheap stores, and he bought his wife like a $5 plastic ring. That marriage didn't last very long. So, So, anybody can buy a plastic ring or an imitation diamond. You see them advertised all the time, these imitation diamonds. So the Prophet said, you know, who actually has the price to pay for a real gem? So, you know, what's that? Yes. So Prabhupada, anyway, so Prabhupada wanted something pure. He didn't want to cheat people. Prabhupada could have changed the name of the movement. I mean, devotees wanted him to call the movement International Society for, like, Spiritual Consciousness or something like that. And Prabhupada insisted on Krishna Consciousness, even though it wouldn't have been as good for marketing. But Prabhupada just wanted to keep everything very, very pure. He never compromised. He never compromised the philosophy or the presentation. And if you compromise, if you do things like that, you know. Well, I'll tell you a funny story. There's one funny story how I used, you know, I lied about mystic powers one time to get preaching engagements. So when I was a young brahmachari and I was booking preaching engagements for a sannyasi, Vidyananda Maharaj. So I would go to the universities and tell them that we have this yogi who we found in the Himalayas. And he has all these mystic powers. He can float in the air and do all these things. And we're sponsoring his tour of the United States. Somehow or other, you know, I was crazy to do that. I said, we're sponsoring his tour of the United States, and all you have to do is pay an honorarium. We're paying the travel expenses and everything like that. So we request, you know, we have an honorarium of several hundred dollars. So actually we needed that money, but to pay the travel expenses. So it was like, you know, anyway, in the beginning days of the movement, we'd do any, or say any damn thing. So, and they would say, wow, a yogi. You know, who can float in the air, you know, everything like that. And so I, you know, approached the student body president, and they would sponsor like that. So we had whole tours of the United States where this yogi who couldn't even do one yoga posture. He couldn't even sit in a lotus position. He got, and then, of course, no one got upset. Well, the funny thing was, like, Yoga Maya, no one got upset, you know, when he came in, and, you know, he just preach Krishna consciousness. So that's how we booked it all over the United States in different universities. Because people are attracted to mystic powers. Is that nice? People are attracted to that. Actually, there's one famous magician in the UK who, you know, appears to have mystic powers, but it's actually all just like trickery. And he has videos. His name is Darren Brown. Maybe you've heard his name before. Very famous person. And people like watch him all the time. Wow, how did he do that? How did he do that? So many things. He's a hypnotist, you know, just a stage magician. So people are attracted to stuff like that. So any other questions or comments? Slavery. People have to work. You have to go to school. That's your work.
After, I usually need to have
a... What time?
Yeah.
Quarter past. Quarter past. We say we say quarter past. And you say quarter past. No, sorry. You gotta speak by the mouth, people will show you up. Otherwise, people think you're an American and they'll throw you away, throw you out. So I guess that's it. Teach and end class. All glories.